'Tis the season to be legal. If you want to provide meals to homeless Atlantans, be certain to get permission first. Police are now enforcing a decades-old policy that requires those who distribute food to get a permit to do it. Those who don't will be ticketed. Joining us now is Deirdre Oakley. She is a professor of sociology at Georgia State University, and George Chidi is social impact director for Central Atlanta Progress. That's a nonprofit community development organization providing programs and services for the Atlanta community. Thank you both for being here in studio.
Good to be here.
Good to have you here. George, let me start with you. Is the stepped up enforcement effort, and I guess we're talking about on street level food operations,
mm-hmm.
an important distinction. Is that good news to your ears?
It is, although I think that, to be perfectly blunt, a lot of the way that it's been communicated and done has been a little ham-handed.
Okay, help us out here. Ham-handed how?
So right now we have, there are ordinances around having more than 75 people, you know, in a park. If you're having a gathering that's got more than 75 people in it, you need a permit.
You need a permit.
If you're blocking a road, you need a permit. If you're using amplified sound, you need a permit. And these are all, there's indisputably, you can enforce these. There's a state law that allows the enforcement of, charitable food distribution as a food service.
And that's the overarching
law. Yeah, that is a state law. But
yeah.
It requires,
every county, every city.
Except every county needed to, the county government needed to
Fulton,
pass,
Hull, whatever yeah. county.
Yeah, they needed to pass enabling legislation, and I'm not sure that the enabling legislation was ever passed. My understanding
now, what
is,
do you mean when you say enabling legislation?
The county government needed to define charitable food operations as food service, and they have not codified that in local law. So from that perspective, I don't think that that element of this is enforceable. The rest of it, though, is, and that's the kind of permitting that needs to, in my opinion, actually needs to happen. I need people to connect to local service organizations. And that's
right.
kind of what the process is here. Like, you show up, you say, I want to do a charitable food distribution. I want to feed people on a street corner. Somebody at City Hall needs to be telling people, look, we don't want you to do it like that. We want you to connect to Safe House or Crossroads or Central Outreach or some other local organization that has long-term connections to homelessness here so that your charity will actually move people out of homelessness.
Ah, I see. So what part, you mentioned that part of this may not even be enforceable.
Yeah.
What aspect are you talking about?
I'm specifically talking about the ordinance, the state law
okay.
regarding food service distribution and charitable food distribution. Like, that's a question, and I think that the city law department and the county law department need to come together and figure out what's going on there.
Deirdre, I'm going to get you here in a second here, but one more question for George here. So it almost sounds to me as though you're setting up two steps. So you want these charitable organizations to be helping people with food.
Absolutely.
You absolutely want that, but you want them... Am I right to suggest that you don't want them just sort of setting up an operation, even with a permit, street level in a park? You want them connected to organizations already doing this work.
Right. And it's because a lot of the problem, it's a terrible moral quandary. We have a large number of homeless people who are suffering from mental illnesses, schizophrenia, anxiety disorders, traumatic brain injuries. And because of a series of legal cases, there's no means to force anybody into treatment. People who are acting under conditions of diminished capacity are refusing treatment. We can't force them to do it, so we're trying to make friends and build trust so that they will come in and take the housing that is on offer for them.
Uh-huh.
The problem is, like, those connections get made at places like soup kitchens and shelters. And they're not made by people who show up once, feed people on the street corner, and then leave.
Hand out clothes, feed
yeah,
people.
Yeah, they show up once, and then they shake hands, they take some Instagram pictures for the church, and then they go home, and they're never seen again, and that person doesn't get connected.
Gotcha, George. Deirdre, where do you come in on this? Do you want the stepped up enforcement of permit requirements? Do you want that?
It depends on how it's done. Yeah. But I think what George is saying, which is really important, is that, and this is where the moral quandary comes in, is that you want to connect people with services. For instance, Atlanta has a Housing First model, which is low demand, but you get housing. And if people are coming in from the suburbs or whatever, and well-intentioned, to give out food,
yes,
and everything, but they don't have that connection with a service provider that could connect the homeless people to Housing First, then there's no connection being made. It's they're getting their sandwich.
So the onus is then on the individuals and groups to make those connections before
launching an effort to feed? I think what the service providers are saying, please come to us
let us help you, let us do it.
Let us help you. But the problem is the way it's being reported in the media sounds like homelessness. This permit thing is just another example of criminalizing homelessness. Because
if you want to help, what do you mean by that? If you want to help and you don't have a permit, you're going to be shut down.
Exactly. So that's the way. So it was stated in some of the media reports that, well, the problem is that people come in and feed people and they leave trash around. Mm-hmm. All right. Instead of this far more nuanced and complicated situation that you have that. It might be getting in the way of connecting people to the services they need.
What's your bottom line here, Deirdre? Do you believe that the permit process is onerous?
Well, I don't think anybody knows about it. I think that's part of the problem.
It hasn't. The enforcement of this has been very up and down.
And you seem to be suggesting that the reporting on it has been up and down and all
over the reporting's place. Like, all right, so I'm just going to say it. As a former AJC reporter, reporters are lazy, and it's particularly true when you're talking about homelessness.
Yeah. Ouch.
Like, reporting on homelessness takes hard work. Mm-hmm. It takes time. It takes exactly the sort of thing that you need to get somebody off the street. But if somebody presents themselves as, I'm doing charitable work, a reporter shows up and talks to the charity because it's easy. They don't talk to the homeless people because that's hard.
Right.
And so we get this one-sided, oh, my charitable organization is being impacted by this, and that's the problem, instead of looking at it from the perspective of the homeless person who needs help, real help, and isn't getting it through this method.
So George, getting permission suggests some kind of credentialing process, right? Maybe a background check.
Well, here's the thing.
What's involved?
It really
doesn't. I don't know what's involved.
It doesn't. That's the thing. There's no credentialing.
So anyone can...
Like, you just show up and ask, and as long as you can meet the terms for any other gathering of people, you're in. And that's because there's a First Amendment issue involved here. Mm-hmm. Like, the city can't play favorites with who they're going to allow to permit, or else you end up, that's a good way to get into court. A lot of the reason that the messaging or the city's been doing has been the way it is because they've been talking about the things that are codified and legally defensible from their position. But the problem we've got with the real problem that the service providers have, it's not telling people that, like, you need to connect to service providers there's no legal ordinance around that. Like, we can't force them to connect. We have to ask.
Right.
And that's what I'm doing here, is I'm asking you to go connect to Safe House or Crossroads or Central Outreach or the Gateway Center or other charitable organizations that have real connections long-term to people who are on the street.
Okay, so if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Deirdre Oakley. She's a professor of sociology for Georgia State University, and George Chidi is a social impact director for Central Atlanta Progress. Deirdre, is your concern that people will not get the right messaging, not know how to operate with their nonprofit, if they want to help this holiday season, and as a result of that, people will go hungry?
I don't think food for homeless people is the biggest problem. Housing for homeless people is the biggest problem. And so the messaging out there, I mean, for instance, I could see something going on where at the very, very least, if your charitable organization, your church, your community group wants to do something for the homeless population, wants to go to Hurt Park and pass out food, at the very, very least, have a connection to the providers who can get them more long-term help, if they want the help.
Yeah.
Some people don't want the help. But part of what George is talking about is homeless outreach for hard-to-house or chronically homeless people with multiple issues. It requires multiple contacts. I mean, it's a real, being an outreach worker is, I don't know how they do it. It's really hard work.
Yeah.
But it requires building relationships.
Which is what George is talking about.
Right. It requires building trust, because one of the issues is that a lot of the people that you see out on the street have had bad interactions with the service system. And they haven't been connected to the right people. They've been thrown in Grady, thrown in jail, whatever. So this building of trust can take an awful long time before they'd even agree to take housing.
George, there was a mention of housing, and it was thumbs up for you.
Yeah, housing is the thing. So housing, substance abuse treatment, but that's a bed, and that's housing. It's shelter. Mental health treatment, but that's housing and it's shelter. The shortage here isn't food. Not like if you're looking at, I mean, you can use more of anything, but the shortage here is finding a shelter for people. And that's the thing that I need people to actually want to, if you want to contribute, find an organization that's providing shelter, write a check.
That is George Chidi, Social Impact Director for Central Atlanta Progress. You also heard from Deirdre Oakley, Professor of Sociology for Georgia State University. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And just ahead, a close look at a Southern staple, mac and cheese. This is On Second Thought.